Hello, I'm Alex Runneman with Unleashed Tiger. I'm here with Chad Proudfoot and Logan Hassefluch, who are running for the Soil District or Soil Conservation District Supervisor. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on the program.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So this is a forum today. We've got both of you here and I appreciate you coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about what this office really is and the value it brings to that, and then talk with each of you about your goals, your aspirations, all that. So let's just jump right in, guys. And let's start, you know, based on the random selection, we'll start, Chad, we'll start with you. I'd love to hear kind of a brief introduction of who you are, what you're about, and really what this office actually is and does.
Sure. So, like you said, my name's Chad Proudfoot, and I've lived in Taylor County all my life. I'm a 2000 graduate of Grafton High School and then went to West Virginia University for undergrad and graduate school. For the last, I think it's been 13 years, I've worked with Cooperative Extension, first at West Virginia University, and was with community development and 4-H there for a number of years. Now I'm a 4-H specialist also with Virginia Tech. So I've been very interested in the role that the conservation districts have been able to play and can play in looking towards the future for our state. I'd love to see some more integration with youth programs that are there. I know there's several districts that do take a part in that. So I'd like to see the Tiger Valley District do a little bit more in that regard. You know, these have been around for quite a while, but it's only been within the last, you know, 15, 20 years or so that these were elected offices. The districts have been there and they were appointed through the State Soil Conservation Committee. And so there's been a lot of work that they've done over the years in terms of helping out with agriculture, helping farmers, projects for water resources, dam projects, soil conservation. So I think it's kind of fun that to me, the soil conservation districts provide a lot of really important services that most folks might not think of on a daily basis. And so I'm a very, very big supporter of agriculture in our community. And across the state, we're no longer really seen as a huge ag state, but I think that folks sometimes overlook the fact that we have a lot of family farming. We have some commercial farming and things that we need to help support because that's what gets the food to our table, as well as what can be done to support a lot of our industries like tourism that depend on soil and water resources for things with, you know, hunting and fishing and keeping some of that, you know, a lot of things that we think of as traditional West Virginia values with things that people take part in, helping to keep that alive and reach out to young people in terms of what they can do for conservation. As well as, you know, being a part of using our resources safely and helping to guard that for the future. So that's what gets me interested in this. And I just think that it's a really neat opportunity.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Chad. Logan?
So my name's Logan Hassefluch. I'm a 2017 graduate of Liberty High School in Clarksburg. I actually became a citizen of Grafton when I met my wife and we got married 2 years ago, and I live just a couple minutes from downtown Grafton now, and she's a lifelong resident of Taylor County. I've worked over in the Tigert watershed for, you know, for the past 5 or 6 years. I'm a 2021 graduate of Glenville State College. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in natural resources management and associate's degree in forestry. So, you know, I come kind of from the same background as Chad. You know, I served in all spectrums of the FFA. When I was at Liberty, everywhere from you know, the secretary to the president. So, you know, I think we both share, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important things is how to go after our youth and bring them into this realm of agriculture and natural resources management. My background is I'm a consulting forester and a wildlife manager for private landowners. I owned my own business for about 5 or 6 years, along with my father. We manage about 10 to 15,000 acres, mostly in northern West Virginia, representing clients on all aspects of natural resource and forest management work. I took passion into this endeavor through my dealings with the NRCS. Obviously working with private landowners, trying to gain funding and for both forestry and wildlife and obviously agricultural work as well. You know, kind of like Chad said, there's a lot of people that don't know about the things that the conservation services have to offer. And it's an unfortunate circumstance a lot of times, because they do offer a lot of great things that we could talk about for literally hours. And those programs need to be utilized more. And I think once people figure those out, I think that we're going to see a large jump everywhere from the small farmer. You know, West Virginia is one of the biggest states with small family farms, which is great. So I think there's some things to be done there to help supplement that. And then obviously, you know, like Chad said too, bringing in our youth, helping them, you know, get involved with some of these programs, doing more with that. We can never do enough for those people. You know, that's our next generation, you know, literally. I mean, FFA, Future Farmers of America. Well, you know, we wouldn't have a future if it wasn't for them. And I think all of us here are representative of that. So yeah, that's kind of my goals with everything. You know, I want to obviously be an advocate for everyone that wants to do wildlife, forestry, you know, all kinds of agricultural work. You know, the beauty of West Virginia is, you know, everything from a chicken to a tree is considered an agricultural crop. So I think looking at it on a broad spectrum and trying to work those things in and help landowners is a really big thing. I've saw how the NRCS has been very beneficial to clients of mine in the counties that they serve, especially in Tigris Valley, which is where the bulk of my clients are. And, you know, I just want to be an advocate for that, help possibly develop some new programs, those kinds of things, and just continue to take steps forward in the right direction.
That's great, guys. You know, you both mentioned the lack of awareness of this, maybe of this organization, or the role it plays, the office, has no bearing on the impact of that. I mean, there's a lot of important things going on. I would venture to say, I'm going to step out, I don't know, I'm completely that ignorant, but I would guess if you count family farms or homesteads, whatever you want to call it, per capita, West Virginia's got to be up there in the top per capita, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got to be, right? Okay, so all right, so let's go. And you guys both may have already foreshadowed to what I'm about to ask you anyway, but from an issue perspective, what issue in our district do you believe should be the top priority, and maybe what specific project or initiative you might advocate in order to address that issue? And Logan, we'll start with you.
So I see, obviously, the biggest thing that I'm working on with clients right now and really is the forestry and wildlife management of their properties is invasive species control. Now, this may not make a lot of sense to some people, but we are stricken with invasive species in this state, and really through a kind of our area, Taylor, Barber, you know, Randolph, Tucker, you know, those counties there. And a lot of this stuff is due to practices that were 50 years ago. So, you know, everything from autumn olive, tree of heaven, Japanese stiltgrass, all these kinds of invasive species. And obviously we're seeing them play a toll in on our forest crop. And obviously it's hindering wildlife habitat development and everything as well. So the NRCS actually does a pretty good job of designing programs to counter those invasive species and things like that. I just think there needs to be more advocacy for it. I think programs can be mimicked per landowner per se, kind of like a custom fit scheme. You know, not everybody has the ability to hire somebody with a brush hog and come in there and cut down autumn olive and all this kind of stuff. It needs to be more tactical. And also, you know, like I said, kind of form fit to a landowner, you know what I mean? So I think that's in my mind as a forester and a wildlife manager right now, that's obviously my biggest problem. So, you know, you can't do a timber harvest, you know, at whatever level without having to fight with invasive species. And, you know, eventually one day, if we don't start countering these kinds of things, we're going to have a really, really hard time managing our forest because it's just going to be overrun and dilapidated. You know, and obviously, like, you know, me and Chad both hit on is the youth part of it. You know, that's all it's all kind of coincides together. If we don't start advocating for our youth and putting them in the kind of these programs and showing them the importance of forest management, wildlife management and agricultural management work, we're not going to have anything one day. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important to push that. I'm not going to say push it on them and you try to shove it down their throat, but they need to know the importance of management, and management is the key word. You know, we're not going out there and high grading forest stands and just, you know, raping willy nilly. It's all about management, managing how we get this stuff pushed over to the youth, managing how we push it over to landowners and farmers in today's world, and really how we can lay this out to where it's going to be economical and beneficial for landowners in the county, and then also through the conservation district as well.
Perfect. Thanks, Chad. Top issue, and what projects you think might be able to address it?
Well, I absolutely agree with what Logan said about the invasive species. I mean, it's one of those things. There's stuff you can just see driving down the road where we have issues with these things. And like Logan mentioned as well, you know, some of it are you know, problems of our own doing that in past decades, you know, USDA would advocate for some of these things, and then they took over, you know, kudzu, Bradford pears, all these things that were like, oh yes, this is wonderful. And, you know, then they've taken over. And so I do think that's really important, because if there's nothing done about that, then we've got a real problem on our hands now. But like Logan said, it can just really take off. To me, I think that the education piece is really paramount, of getting information out to youth and adults about what programs there are, what can be done, how folks can utilize the district and the different programs that are out there that are available through the conservation districts. I'd love for these to not be seen as much as the background agency anymore that's doing all this stuff, but to be much more out there in the front, that folks recognize that it's important and start to see, oh wait, I can see what this does for my daily life now. And I think a lot of that can be done through partnerships, in terms of getting the word out. I'd love to see more of a partnership with Extension, just because I know that side of it. But again, also with school systems, with different agencies that are out there, I think that there can be a lot of work done to get some of that knowledge out there about the issues that we're facing. And I think that the education that the soil conservation districts could provide are an interesting way to support a lot of what we get in schools too. There's not enough time to talk about some of these issues, but we can provide a lot of supplemental education, not supplanting what education folks are already getting, but a lot of supplemental information that could be really useful, and a lot of stuff that can be real hands-on on the ground, sort of, you know, getting out there, seeing it, see what you can do and take care of those things. So I think we're looking at a lot of the same issues with things here.
Yeah. That's great. I tell you, you know, and Chad, it's almost as if you have my notes in front of you, which for everyone listening at home or watching at home, these guys don't know what the questions are. Not that there's any secret gotchas, but my next question literally was, how do you involve the community in conservation efforts? And so, Chad, I know you just addressed some of that. Is there any more you want to talk? You know, you're talking about the students, you're talking about the adults as well. What efforts would you do in this role if you're reelected to basically, you know, get that engagement more across the community?
And I think part of it, too, is it, at least in Taylor County, of course, the district is more than just us, but Taylor County, especially, I think we've seen in the last few years, we have a real growing number in our population that want to be engaged in public issues and things that are going on. So I think that we've got a population that's really ripe to take a hold of this, because we've seen other efforts that are related be very positive. You know, we had the All Aboard Grafton things. We've had community development. You know, I think that it's very evident now that Taylor County and Taylor County residents see our community as a place where we're focusing a lot on quality of life issues. We want it to be a good place to live. You know, a lot of folks may work outside of the county, but they're choosing to live in Taylor County because we've got a lot of these real, you know, positive efforts going on. And so I would just say that that's probably the piece that I think is really important, that we can tap into a good population and some good programs that we already have. You know, Grafton High School has long had a very solid FFA program and agricultural education. So we have things that we can then take part in that. We have 4-H, we have community groups, you know, Rotary. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have that we can use to sort of get the word out about some of this. And I think that we should do our best to just take advantage of all of it any way we can.
Perfect. Awesome. Logan, community engagement, how do we get folks engaged?
I mean, there's really no better way to describe it than Chad just did. I mean, truthfully, I mean, that is hitting the nail on the head directly. Kind of like what Sam McCloy and them guys do with Hardcore Hunters and what they've done on Three Forks Creek. Like I said, just exactly what Chad just said. Getting groups like that involved is what's going to make the community successful. And I think, like Chad said, it's a building block. If people see how much we're doing here and how well the community is working together, which we are blessed with really just the small town atmosphere and the small town well-being. And I think once that gets established, better, obviously we're always going to want that to grow. That's going to continue just to build and build and build and build and build for and we're talking generational. I attended a meeting a couple of weeks ago at the senior center that the NRCS had put on with the Department of Agriculture in terms of the spotted lanternfly. Talking about the tree of heaven, problem within Grafton and everything like that, working with CSX Railroad and all these other different people to kind of counter this tree of heaven growth, which is an invasive species. I think that, like I talked to the boy at the meeting, I told him, I said, well, are you reaching out to First Energy? Are you reaching out to the locals? Who are you marketing yourself to push this to, because, essentially there was 5 or 10 people there and most of the guys were with the NRCS district. So they're working, they're getting paid to be there and a couple small farmers and everything like that. But it's really just kind of that same general crowd where there's nobody new or anything like that that's taking an interest in on that. And that's what, I made the comment to Jared Nestor, as a district supervisor. I said, if you guys want something like this to take off, I said, you can't have it with 10 people who already know everything that's going on. We've got to find a way to build this and get people who aren't educated on these kinds of things and make them aware. But, like I said, though, there's really no better way to describe it than what Chad just said. Just that constant community outreach. These things are very, very hands-on with the community, especially the kids at the high school and the FFA levels. Everything from going out and doing a cut stump treatment lab on autumn olive or a girdling exercise or something like that. Oh, it's very, very, very hands-on. And it can even be developed. I mean, I'm not saying the family wants to take up their weekend doing hack and squirt on Tree of Heaven, but it's all something that can also be looked at as a family ordeal too. How can the family manage their farm? How can they manage their property? It's all around the same spectrum of work. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. That's great. So shifting the word, we've used the word a couple of times now, sustainability throughout this. And that's one of our pillars at Unleashed Tigers as well. So I'm curious about this in addition to everything else we've been talking about. But what, Logan, we'll stick with you. What strategies would you implement to promote sustainable practices within our district? And we're thinking more front of mind when we're thinking sustainability as opposed to, whoops, that was an opportunity lost.
Yeah. So, it's just like anywhere, I'm going to go back to timber harvest, a lot, because that's really, it can be put towards a lot of different situations. There's a right way to cut timber and there's a wrong way to cut timber. Okay. There's a right way to mow your grass and there's a wrong way to mow your grass when it comes down to it. So by promoting that sustainable use practice in your agricultural resources, you're everywhere from rotational grazing on your pasture fields, to doing a successional timber harvest, promoting, earth successional growth and new timber growth and everything like that. We're talking about impacts that could be made generationally. And I think once people realize, I hate to bring up the word finances, but once people realize that the long-term yield that they can get by managing their timber, we're not overgrazing their pastures, and you prove that to them. And I've done it in the past with timber harvest predominantly, proving the landowners, like if you cut your timber like this, or we do it like this, you're going to see, you're going to see the cause and effect of it in 25 years. And, I've cut tracts of timber now that my dad cut 25 years ago, and I'll cut them again in 25 years. And then my son will cut them in 25 years. So I think by pushing that and giving the landowner, and then the landowners and just the citizens of the county and the district itself, just that educational aspect of it, whether it's performing a field day and showing them what a good managed timber sale looks like, or meeting with farmers or something like that to show them what rotational grazing looks like. That's how you produce that long-term ability. And when we talk about longevity and those kinds of management practices too. You know, obviously I think that that is something that could be talked about for hours as well. Just because it fits all kinds of resources. You know, I'll revert back again, what Sam and them are doing on Three Forks Creek. That's all long-term stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And by, you know, kind of like what Chad and we just talked about, those cooperatives are a big part of that too, because obviously we want people to be in the community and the county for a very, very long time. You know, I mean, I'm not going anywhere. My son hopefully isn't going anywhere. So we're talking about stuff that's still all around these same lines of sustainability, community development, and then obviously we'll see that play off of each other.
Yep, perfect. Chad?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you in terms of the grass cutting, my dad will tell you that the right way to cut grass is however he does it. And the wrong way is clearly however I did it when he told me to cut grass. Mm-hmm. But
that's true.
Yeah, right. But
very true.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I agree with what Logan's been saying, too. And to me, I think West Virginia has always been a pretty good example of a lot of sustainable practices over the course of decades. You know, if you go back, and, you know, I'm a history guy, so that's how I look at a lot of things. But when you see photos of West Virginia back in the 20s and early 30s, it was completely stripped bare. There had been horrible practices with timber and natural resources use. And, you know, you don't see any trees, you don't see any of that. And beginning in the 1930s, when we really started looking at some of the conservation practices that were out there, West Virginia jumped in on that. I mean, we got on board. And when you look around now, you know, it's wonderful. We're a state that's covered in trees, and we see good practices that are being put to use with, in terms of water and quality and all of that. So again, I think that we're positioned very well to keep a lot of sustainable practices going, because we don't want to go backwards in that regard. But I don't see a lot of that happening. And I think we've made a lot of good progress with things too. You know, we see a lot of stuff that happens now with our public service districts, which that's another group. I think that it's, you know, it involves people's everyday life, but they never think about it too much. You know, we put in water systems and sewage systems and everything, and we're not seeing the direct discharge to creeks like we used to, because we're putting efforts into making those things better and septic and all of that. So again, I think just getting that word out there of what we can do and what some of these practices are, and making the connections so that those things can happen. I've never seen West Virginia as a state that's very adverse to taking part in a lot of these kinds of practices with farming, with agriculture, any of that. Because our folks, again, with such small farms and family farms, you know, our folks are looking for ways to keep that going. They don't want to fall into a practice where their land is going to become less usable and they can get less out of it. So I think our folks are happy to jump in and learn about these things, to talk with others, to establish cooperatives, to take part in these practices, and really keep stuff going. I think we're well positioned for that.
Perfect. Well, gentlemen, we're at the last question. It is customary in this program that we give the last word to the candidates. It's a shame you guys aren't passionate about this at all or really care at all about this topic. We could go on for, I know we could go on for hours here, but I want to give the last word to you. And Chad, we'll start with you. What is it you'd like to share with the voters of the district?
Yeah, I think most of what we've talked about, you know, we've already said just about everything. You've got two candidates here who are very passionate about this and believe that there's a lot of good going on and a lot of good can be done. Honestly, I think whatever way voters go, I think it'll be great. And I know for my part, whether I get elected or not, it's not like I'm going to stop doing things in the community and community service with stuff like that. So I'm just happy to be out there and, you know, try and perform public service when I can. The thing that I love about this office is that it is nonpartisan. So we're not looking to try and find political divisiveness with this. This is an office that I think is very much bent to bring people together. And what I've always seen with a lot of this is that these issues cross party lines very well, and there's a lot of support, no matter what side folks are on, for these efforts. So I just appreciate the opportunity to be a candidate, and look forward to the outcome of the election. No matter what, I'm going to be happy. If Logan gets elected, I will be very happy and supportive as well.
Excellent. Over to you, Logan.
Yeah, I mean that, like I said, Chad hit it on the head again. Whoever wins this position, it's not like we're going to see any kind of dilapidation. I mean, it's going to be we're I think both of us are in it for the long haul. And I think both right here we've got two people, like Chad said, that are very, 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 interested in this, and they want to see this go through. And I was literally telling my wife this the other day. I was like, this is a situation that, your political involvement really has nothing to do with, because if you don't like managing your natural resources, then you don't like life itself, because your natural resources, from water quality to soil conservation to the community involvement to forest management, wildlife management, that literally plays an everyday role in whatever you do. People may not realize that, but it does. And and I'll end it with saying, just like Chad said, it doesn't matter who wins, me or him or whoever, we're still both going to be involved in this, because it's going to take people like us to push this kind of stuff through and to be involved with the government organizations as a citizen level, to make sure that the community understands this, and we get this through and we see nothing but success for the future.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, Chad Proudfoot, Logan Hasselfluk, I really appreciate you guys becoming on the program, certainly, but also putting your hat in the ring out here for this role. It's very important, and hopefully in our public's eye, learn more and more and become more important in their minds too. So, folks, when you're going to the polls, be thinking. If you've got questions, you can tell these guys love to talk about this topic. So I'm sure they would welcome a call or an email or a text or whatever, and
Absolutely.
begin that conversation. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming on the program, and good luck in the election.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.